95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story once again this lovely Sunday morning. Today we're talking circus and wine. Later on in the show, I'll have a representative from Coppola Winery who's here today to talk wine with us. But first, the Big Apple Circus is at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center now until June 16th. And this year, there is a female ringmaster leading North America's biggest circus, Stephanie Monsieur.
Monsieur.
Did I get it? Kind of. She will guide audiences through an unforgettable array of mind-blowing, breathtaking, jaw-dropping performances. This is her first national tour as ringmaster and is in a show filled with outstanding female performers and so much more. She's here today to tell us about the Big Apple Circus. Stephanie, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Kathy. I'm glad to be with you.
How long have you been a ringmaster?
I've been a ringmaster for 25 years, and I've toured all over the world as a ringmaster, but this is my first season with the Big Apple Circus in a tent with horses and dogs and a great big live band and phenomenal acts from all over the world. So I'm very excited to be here with the Big Apple Circus.
Okay, so you're not new to being a ringmaster. It's just with this circus.
Correct.
What goes into being a ringmaster and having to command such a big venue?
I think the word command is not what I think about when I'm doing this. I think about welcoming and I think about sharing excitement.
Okay.
So rather than being the boss of the show, I am the doorway. The audience is coming into a beautiful environment that's very specialized. It's very different from anything else in their everyday lives. And they're about to witness superhuman feats. So I'm the relatable person there. I'm the one who's saying, welcome. You're going to have your minds blown. We're in this together. Feel free to stare, take pictures, let your imagination run wild. I'm here to help you navigate this experience.
Sure, that makes sense. I mean, I grew up going to circuses with my family, and that makes a lot of sense that the ringmaster is kind of there to welcome you, and you know that, you know, it's going to get started now, and you kind of get excited when they come out. But you also perform. Are you performing in this show?
Nope, I am just the guide in this show. My skills include fire eating and whip cracking and done aerial stunts and all kinds of stuff. But in this show, I just get to be a guide.
So tell me a little bit more about the performances then that are in this show.
We have an assortment of everything from acrobatics to equilibrists to animal trainers. So I'm going to run down the list in order because that's how I remember it the best. The show opens with Emile Faltini, who does a ladder balancing act. That means that he is on an unsupported freestanding moving object and he climbs about 10 feet in the air. And then from that position, kicks a soccer ball up to another 12-foot-high perch that is balanced on his forehead. So the whole thing is moving. It's perilous. It's completely fraught with tension. We also have Adam Kukler, who is a world-class cigar box manipulator. This is a corner of the juggling world where the laws of physics are defined in a whole different way. He's also a really charismatic comedian, so he's part of our clown duo. Jenny Vidbell presents dogs and horses in our show. She works with all rescue animals, and she has this incredible energy, so you feel the connection with her and her animal partners every time she's in the ring. We have Desire of Flight, which is an aerial duet on straps, which performs release moves and trust falls. I think they get the biggest wow in the show. I mean, aside from the flying trapeze is a huge wow moment, but what happens with Desire of Flight is the unexpected drops and sudden catches that okay. just kind of catch you off balance.
Those performances are my favorite. That and the trapeze as well. Mm-hmm. I always was so enamored by it as a kid. And I always said, if I join the circus, if I run away with the circus, that's what I want to learn to do.
And the feedback, you know, when I talk to guests after the show, you know, adults and kids alike, they're blown away by that performance. I think it's because it just surprises and it arrests your breathing and it arrests your heart and it just kind of inspires you.
How long is the show?
Just under 2 hours. We have an intermission, a nice break in the middle so you can stretch and
get the kids cotton candy, ice cream, a soda, whatever they want.
Yes, exactly. We have really good, tasty, everything's fresh made snacks at the show, including, you know, gourmet treats and delicious drinks. So, you know, grown-ups can have a grown-up beverage and kids can have the organic cotton candy in all different colors.
Do you have any favorite parts of the show?
I think one of my favorite parts is watching Mark Gindick and Adam Kukler, who are our comedians. They're not clowns in makeup, but they are clowns. Interact with the audience because they're, again, very warm, very relatable characters that help draw everybody in, make everybody feel really welcome. And they end up bringing an unsuspecting audience volunteer into each show and kind of guiding them through their own superstar moment. So that's always really fun.
Adults or kids?
They always pick an adult.
Is there anything interactive for the kids?
There is. Jenny usually picks one or two kids for a special moment with the ponies in the ring. And we do have pony rides before and after each show, so families can share that together as well.
Okay, so if they come a little bit early, they can do that or then
exactly.
after the show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in the circus.
My goal in life was not to be a circus performer, but what I did have was a lot of different interests in fine arts, in sports, in performance. And ultimately, the way I found my road into the circus was through a car accident that left me with a broken arm. But I found a culmination of all my interests in this one art form. I was a jewelry design major at FIT in New York City, and I got hit by a car on my way to finals. I had a small jewelry business that I put on hold, and in the year that it took me to recover, I ended up meeting a guy who was a juggler and a fire eater. And my story started from scratch right there. I fell in love with him. I learned to eat fire. We started traveling all over the United States, performing in, you know, Mardi Gras and nightclubs and all over New York City. And we ended up meeting a like-minded community of people in New York and turned toward circus as a way to express all of these creative ideas we all had. So we started a company called the Bindlestiff Family Circus together. It still exists 25 years later. And during that time, I've been a ringmaster, a fire eater. I have a target bullwhip act. I can take a cigarette out of your mouth at 30 paces with a whip. I've
what,
done.
Seriously?
Yes, really. It's, you know, if you ever want to quit smoking, come see me. I've made costumes. I've driven trucks full of people back and forth across the country on tours. But what I really love is being a host and presenting these acts and welcoming audiences. I got to say, over the course of season 41 here, I must have seen our show now over 300 times, and still love it every time. I love watching the audience. I love watching grandparents with their adult children, with their own young kids, share an intergenerational experience. I've seen 65-year-old couples on dates. I've seen gangs of millennials come as, you know, groups of friends come and have this experience together. It really hits people in a lot of different ways. And one of my favorite experiences are also Circus of the Senses and the autism shows where families can actually come together and have an experience with their kids.
You guys do that?
Yes, we do. Friday, May 31st, we'll be having a show at 11 a.m. that's geared towards autism and cognitive disabilities. The sensory levels for the show are lowered. We have professional staff, calming centers, And so what we try to do is make this an experience that's accessible for everyone.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I've been seeing that, you know, happen at different types of events. There's actually a theme park in the area that does that as well. They pick a specific day and all of the kids and the families can come out and experience the park. But just like you said, on, you know, a little bit more of a calming level, and they watch where the, you know, the music levels are and, you know, all of that. And that's interesting that you guys are doing that too. That's really amazing.
Yeah, it's been part of the Big Apple Circus's desire to reach everyone, and you know, in whatever capacity you can experience the circus, we want to make that happen for you.
Sure. How do you like performing at the Expo Center?
It's so far, it's great. We've just been there a couple of days. We're right next to gorgeous rail trails along the Schuylkill. Is that how you say it?
Schuylkill. Yeah,
Schuylkill.
You did a good job. Yeah.
I tried to do my homework.
Yes.
It's not what it looks like on the sign.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know what's funny? If you ask people in Philadelphia how to spell Schuylkill, like almost no one can do it. So how can people get tickets to the show? What's the best way?
Please visit our website, www.bigapplecircus.com, and look for tickets that suit your schedule. We have 3 shows on Saturdays. We have some morning shows coming up during the week. And Sundays, we have 2 shows a day. So hopefully we can be there when you're ready to see the circus.
When you're not performing, what do you do for fun?
I am a lifelong runner. For my last birthday, I also bought myself a Casio keyboard. So I've been relearning how to play piano. I'm an avid reader. I love to practice. I'm working on 5-ball juggling. After a long time in the circus, I finally said, I gotta get this. I love what I do. So I'm, you know, a big history buff. I love reading about the history of circus. I love watching circus. When the tent is dark, when the shows aren't happening, a lot of us practice. And so there's this really nice kind of collaborative skill share among the circus artists in the community and even some of the crew members. So there's always something going on there.
Where does the circus go next after Oaks?
After Oaks, we'll be heading south. We'll be going to the state of Georgia for a number of cities and kind of retooling this show to move from the tent into small arenas.
Oh, okay.
And then the tent will actually travel back to New York, and an entirely new show will be created for season 42 with a whole new cast, all different acts. And so even if you feel like you saw this show last year, I can guarantee you haven't seen any of us, because all of us are new to the tent this year.
People can go to BigAppleCircus.com if they want tickets.
That's right.
Stephanie, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
Yeah, it was really nice meeting you. And I'm coming out to the show with my son.
Yay! You'll love it.
If you'd like to see Stephanie and the Big Apple Circus, go to BigAppleCircus.com for more information and to purchase tickets. The Big Apple Circus will be at the Expo Center in Oaks until June 16th.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest is a certified specialist of wine and an area manager for Francis Ford Coppola Winery. In 2015, she was asked to join the prestigious La Dame Escoffier, a group for the influential women leaders in food, fine wine, and hospitality industries. Erica Jordan grew up in Cherry Hill and graduated from St. Joe's University, and she's here today to chat wine with me. Erica, thanks for coming by.
Hello, Kathy.
So how did you get into the wine industry?
I got into the wine industry based on my dad. He always had a big love for wine, and it kind of was instilled in me when I was a little girl, and he used to read me bedtime stories, which now that I am also a mom, he gave me that book of bedtime stories, which was Mr. Boston's Guide to Bartending. So he was reading me how to make his favorite cocktails at a very young age.
Oh, that's so funny. How long have you been with Coppola?
I've been with Coppola over 7 years now. So it's growing and growing, and every day is very exciting.
It seems like a really good company to work for.
They are an amazing company to work for, full of everything artistic and creative, and they really push the envelope and are on the forefront of a lot of things happening in the wine industry.
And how involved is Francis Ford Coppola?
He is involved in every aspect of our day-to-day business, from looking at labels to the wine production to even furthering the business in our different resorts that we have as well. So he's super involved, and he's a great role model for all of us.
And you were saying that you think it's part of the reason for the success of the company because he is so creative and he is involved.
He is a massive risk taker, and it's evident in a lot of the wines and things that we come out with. He's amazing, and everything that he does, it just really instills some hope and some joy in you. And it makes you feel like you're not working a day in your life when you get to go to work and do something that you love.
Have you met him?
I have met him a few times. Actually, at the winery in Sonoma. It's in a town called Geyserville. There's this great little restaurant called Rustic. And we have these tavola dinners, which is one of Francis's favorite dinners that we have there. And all the waiters and waitstaff come out and perform. He was sitting at the table next to us and stood up and grabbed the bottles of wine off his table and turned around. And he said, "Hey, guys, this is our new wine. And this is from my granddaughter, Gia. And I would like to share it all with you." And so he shared his wine right from the table with all of us that were out there. So it was amazing.
How often do you visit the actual winery?
So I go out to the winery at least once a year. This year it'll actually be twice. So I was already out in February and then I'll be out again in September right around harvest.
And where is the winery?
So the winery is in Sonoma in Geyserville, California.
Okay, that's where it is. The family owns a couple of other, you mentioned resorts, restaurants. What else is going on within the company?
So we just purchased our fourth winery now. So we have a new winery in Oregon. So that makes one in Oregon called Domaine de Bruyer. We have the two in Sonoma. So we have the Virginia Dare Winery and the Francis Ford Coppola Winery. We have the winery in Napa, which is our Inglenook estate. And then we do have properties and resorts throughout the world. So one of my personal favorites is in Belize, and it's called the Turtle Inn. All of his properties basically maintain a lot of cultural influence from the area. All of the food there has that same kind of vibe. And so it's a great little spot to go to vacation at any of his properties. You can expect some world-class treatment and beautiful accommodations.
And is it just Coppola wine served at these resorts?
No, he actually is.
Really?
Yeah, he's, of course, we do have them there. So you are able to actually have the Coppola wines, but he does have affinity for wines from all over the world. And you will see that along with different spirits from all over the world as well.
So he appreciates good wine.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just his.
Absolutely.
How many times have you been there?
I've been to the property in Belize 3 times.
Are you familiar with the well-known fly fisherman in Belize, Eworth Garbutt?
No.
So weird connection here, but my brother actually flew over to Belize last summer and did a documentary on this guy. He's an extremely well-known fly fisherman and tour guide in Belize. And the documentary is basically about his life achievements. And the guy is unbelievable. So nice, so inspirational. But my brother's film is currently being submitted to film festivals now. But once it's out for release, I'm going to send it to you. And maybe you can get the Coppola family to play it at the resort in Belize. The guy is pretty amazing. It's a great documentary.
I cannot wait to see this, especially because my son is very much into fishing right now. So he will probably absolutely enjoy that so much.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get you that. So they have the resort in Belize. Where are the other resorts?
So there's another resort inland in Belize, a little bit farther, called Blancano. So that gives you more of that jungle vibe versus the Turtle Inn, which is on the coast in Placencia, which gives you more of like the beachy vibe. There is a property in Guatemala as well called La Lancha. We have one in Bernalda, Italy, which is the Plaza Margherita, which is the town in which Francis is actually from. His family is from there. And there is one in Argentina as well, in Buenos Aires.
These are open to the public. People can book a trip and go to these?
Absolutely. You can go right on the website. And on our website, it says wine, food, and adventure. And you can click on the adventure link and it'll take you to all of our resorts and you can go through and look at all of them, see all the beautiful pictures of the properties. And then they even have all of the different things to do in the different cities that the properties are in.
So I have to tell you this story quickly. I had do you ever have this aha moment and you're like, oh my God, do I actually tell people about this or should I just keep this one to myself? I just recently, I would say in the past year, when I was buying wine, it was the director's cut, Francis Ford Coppola director's cut. And I was like, oh, director, I get it.
Well, it's nice that you recognize that because that was his whole idea when he actually created that line, was basically to kind of show how winemaking and filmmaking were synonymous. So it was a way for him to show how you take raw goods, whether it's the grapes and a winemaker and the winemaking team, or you take an actor and a script and you're able to make an award-winning movie or an award-winning wine.
When did he buy the first winery?
The first property was in 1973 that he actually acquired the property in the Napa Valley, which now he's actually repurchased everything from the original estate that predates back to the 1800s, which is quite fantastic. Oh, wow. He's a really big history buff. So what you will see in a lot of the things that we do, there is a big tie into something historical. And that was one of his things, was making sure that he could kind of put together the original estate back to its original property.
Coppola wine is a standard in my house. Tell me about some of the new wines that are coming out.
Oh, we have some really fun stuff. So as I was saying earlier, we did just purchase a new winery up in Oregon. Our brand new wine is an Oregon Pinot Noir from, it's in the Dundee Hills is where our property is located. And it is in our diamond collection. It's in our golden tier, and it's fantastic and very lucky in the state of Pennsylvania. We are getting it into the stores, so you guys won't have to wait that long for it. But it is already available in New Jersey and Delaware. Just a beautiful expression of Oregon Pinot with that really nice kind of strawberry, and you get that Willamette dirt, that little earthiness, which I enjoy ever so much. So that's one of our big ones that's coming. And then what summer would be complete without some cans? So we do have some new canned wine coming out. We have the Sophia Rosé, which is amazing. If you were lucky enough to have our regular rosé that's in the bottle.
I did.
It now comes in little cans, and it's amazing. So it'll be perfect for the beach this summer.
And they have the champagne cans, too, with the little straw attached
yes.
to it.
Yes. So we have our Blanc de Blanc, and then we also have a Brut Rosé, which, again, is another one of my favorites. I'm a big bubble person to begin with, but when you add a little bubbly rosé, that completely makes my day.
Yes, I agree with you. I love it as well. What's your favorite wine?
My favorite wine, I have so many from our company. It's hard to like pinpoint. I love our Director's Cut Cinema. It is a Cabernet Zinfandel blend, and it's blending the grapes from Alexander Valley and from Dry Creek, which are two amazing properties to be able to be culminating into one bottle. It gives just about everything that you could want in a bottle of wine to go with just about every meal. So you have this great cherry with this little bit of earthiness and some tobacco and some cocoa. It's just a beautiful, beautiful bottle of wine.
Talk about the Sophia brand. That's one of his daughters, right?
So the Sophia line does have, it has more of our bubbles. That's our bubble house. So it has our Blanc de Blanc. We have the Brut Rosé. We have a Still Rosé. We did have a Chardonnay for a little while. We did also at one point have a red blend and a Riesling. So it was all wines that Sophia's really enjoyed herself. But right now, the main drivers of that brand are the Blanc de Blanc, the Brut Rosé, and our Still Rosé.
Talk about the La Dame des Escoffiers.
This is a great organization of women that is actually worldwide. We do have a local chapter here in Philadelphia, and it basically brings together women in the hospitality, food, and beverage worlds. So we all get together, and our whole mission is basically to raise money to award a scholarship to another young lady who is going to be in the food world. And we've been very fortunate to give out some of those scholarships these past few years with the money that we've raised.
And that's just in Philadelphia?
So our chapter is just in Philadelphia. So we keep our money in Philadelphia.
That's really cool.
They're an amazing group of women who are in just about every aspect, from catering businesses to chefs and some really nice wine people, or even farmers and growers and cheese producers, which is pretty cool as well.
All goes together.
Everything goes together.
Well, so you're talking about females in that industry. There are a lot of female leaders within the Coppola company.
Yes, we have a brand new president, Allison Westhoven, and she is absolutely amazing. Frances is very big with promoting women in the industry, and a lot of that is Eleanor as well. His wife is a beautiful person, and she gets out and does these women in wine dinners and luncheons and really helps empower women in the food and beverage world. We have a new spirit line now coming out too, which is all great women's spirits. Brings to light some women that you might not have heard about throughout history and kind of sheds a little light on them.
How often do you drink wine?
That's kind of a loaded question because it's going to sound bad, but it is my job. So I do drink. It's probably a little bit every day. I can never let somebody taste wine by themselves. So when I'm out and meeting all of my buyers, I do sit down and we'll taste. It might not be drinking, but I mean, I at least taste on a daily basis.
What's the most important tip you can give about drinking wine, or the most important tip you can give to wine drinkers?
The most important thing is to drink what you love. I could sit here all day and tell you how amazing the dish that you're about to eat is going to pair with this very specific wine. And if it is not something that you like, you're not going to like it. my tip is just drink what you love and don't be afraid to try something new. I always love when I host wine dinners and wine events to kind of push the envelope and make people try something out of their comfort zone, even if it might be something like a Chardonnay where you've sworn off Chardonnay because you didn't like the oak. Now's the time to sit there and revisit it because the winemakers out in California are doing some amazing things, and some of those wines that you didn't like before, you might actually really fall in love with.
Where can people buy the wine? Obviously, if you're in Pennsylvania, it is at the state store, correct?
Yes. A lot of our wines are in the state stores in Pennsylvania, which makes it very easy to go and find. There are a lot of the grocery stores in Pennsylvania as well that do carry them. Anywhere in New Jersey, there's so many different wine stores there, and just about everybody carries one of our brands. As in Delaware, it's very easy to find our stuff. People really like it, and they gravitate towards it, which makes the retailers all want to carry our products.
I buy it by the case at Total Wine.
Not kidding.
If people are interested in visiting the winery or one of the resorts, do they just go to the website to get information?
You go to the website, www.francisfordcoppolawinery.com. There is a link on there for tours and tastings. You can also go to one of our restaurants as well. You can make a phone call and make a reservation either before or after your tour. I highly recommend grabbing a little something to eat while you're there, because you can sit outside on the terrace and overlook the property and the vineyards, which is quite spectacular. And it's not something that everybody has, nor is our swimming pool that we have out there. So if you happen to go in the summertime, you can actually go and sit by the pool for a little bit, because who doesn't want to sit by the pool and drink some wine?
And I follow you guys on social media. And yes, I do know about that pool. It looks gorgeous.
It is. So it is open for the season and everything's family friendly. We encourage to have kids come out and play and stuff too. There's a teepee that has games and books and all sorts of stuff inside of it.
Erica, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
If you'd like more information, don't forget to check out FrancisFordCoppolaWinery.com and follow them on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.